The Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. We are kicking off those shoes, kicking off the blues, and having a grand old time. I cannot believe that we are already in the last half hour of this edition of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, the August 2nd edition. Happy birthday to Dennis Prager, my colleague here on 710 KNUS. And this is also a great way to cap my own birthday as well, as it is exactly the same. Dennis and I share the same birthday, and so it's funny that August 2nd would be the birthday for two hosts that broadcast. Of course, Dennis is one of the most brilliant guys, and his birthday is today, but he's one of the most brilliant guys from 11 to 1 as part of our exciting lineup here on 710 KNUS in studio now, as we are about to be joined by U.S. Congressman Cory Gardner momentarily, is Maggie Tate and also Izzy Novick, who are both just graduated from Cherry Creek High School. Maggie is going off to the University of South Carolina just next weekend, and Izzy, shortly thereafter, off to Smith College in Massachusetts, and you both seem pretty excited, looking forward to that, on the road, off to college and to the new world. It's great to have you both in the studio.
Thank you.
Okay, and you just said thank you for those who couldn't hear. The mic is now on. Dwayne back there trying to juggle multiple things at once, and I do want to bring on, and as it is always a pleasure to talk with my friend and the next senator from the United States State of Colorado, U.S. Congressman Cory Gardner from the 4th Congressional District. Congressman Gardner, welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. It's good to have you on, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. We're at a meet and greet down in the San Luis Valley, so we're excited about it.
Oh, yes. These are always important as you're getting out there and introducing yourself directly to the voters. Now, I've got a few questions of my own, but in studio, I was just mentioning, I've got Maggie Tate and Izzy Novick, who are both fresh graduates from high school, who will be going off to college.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I wanted to give, they've been in the studio, we've been talking about some of their perspectives on some things, and I want to give each of them a chance to ask you a question, and then I'll go ahead and ask my own as we have Congressman Gardner here on the show. And I want to start with Maggie, who's particularly looking at this from the perspective of somebody who is young and very first time going to be able to vote. I bet that's exciting.
It is very exciting. Something I've noticed among my peers and just people my age is that there's a lot more, the negative stereotype for Republicans is a lot more pervasive than that of the Democrats. And so with people like me who are voting for the first time, I was wondering how you think that you and your campaign can appeal to the younger generation.
That's a great question.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you. That's a very good question. I think.
Nope. Congressman, you are cutting out. Right now, we'll try to get you back in just 1 second here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We're working on it. When you're in the San Luis Valley, it certainly does provide a little bit more difficulty in terms of keeping that connection. And so we are working on getting him back, and we will have him momentarily. I think it's a very good question that we want to answer. I mean, especially as a younger person myself, looking at the issues of the day, you have to have Republicans and Democrats both addressing these issues, but Republicans, I mean, do you think that Republicans, Maggie, have done a decent job at being able to try to start appealing to young people, or are they still way behind?
I mean, I think they are pretty behind just because, like, what I've seen around, like, with people I know, and especially on the internet with things that, just the bias of articles that I read that I'm in the demographic of, I think that maybe they're trying, but I haven't seen a lot of success. But that's just my perspective, and it may or may not be the actual truth going on. But
And Izzy, yeah, somebody who describes yourself as sort of leaning more to the liberal side, do you see any way that Republicans are appealing to you or some other young people?
Well, truthfully, I haven't really been looking for it, but I'm sure it's out there. I think that what I've just been seeing is that each side, the sides that come through for, like, every issue, including politics, are the strongest, most extreme sides.
Yeah.
So what I've heard from the Republican side is very scary.
Okay.
And
at
I've
least
heard,
what you've heard about the Republican
side.
Yes,
I'm not saying that's true.
You know,
I'm not
I want to go to Congressman Gardner. We have him back here to answer that question, especially since, of course, you are always on the end of some of these vicious attacks that try to paint you as extreme, even though you're not Congressman Gardner. But what do you have as we bring you back on an answer in terms of being able to appeal to youth who are consistently bombarded with this idea that Republicans are extreme, terrible, all of those kinds of things? And it looks like he dropped one more time. We'll try one more time again on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show to see if we can get the signal back. On the program. These things always happen in politics and in live radio. I think it's interesting that you mentioned that, Izzy, because it's much more, in my opinion, about the Democrats and the media painting a picture about conservatives. Hence, what you're talking about, Maggie, is being more pervasive.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt that that happens. And I think that it happens just as much with Democrats as a more extreme...
That, yes, very interesting. Congressman Gardner, your thoughts?
Well, thank you. One of the things that we're going to have to do to appeal to youth is get better cell service.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to talk to some companies for that. Go on, my friend.
Well, I think we got this one going. And Maggie, thanks for the question again. I think, look, as I started to say, the people who are graduating from high school, people going into college, people coming out of college are interested in freedom, determining their own future, figuring out what they want to do in life and starting anew for themselves. And that means having a job that they want, having the opportunity to go out and work and build the life that they want. And if you look at what's happened over the past several years under this administration, under the leadership of Mark Udall, the job situation coming out of college is worst, one of the worst times it's ever been in history. People aren't able to find work. People are coming out of college with more debt, and people are coming out with less freedom. They're being told what they can do with their health care. They're being told what they can do with their future jobs. They're being told what they can do in terms of regulations and where they want to start a job. And that's what we have to do. And then we have to talk about freedom in areas like making sure we have cyber freedom, making sure that we have freedom of internet, making sure we have freedom in our emails, that we have that expectation of privacy, that the NSA isn't spying on us. And those are all areas where I think would appeal to younger voters by making sure that we're pro-freedom, pro-individual, and making sure that we are getting government out of the way to let America work.
And jobs as well. When we're talking about getting America working again, I want to follow up and ask you, Congressman Cory Gardner, our guest, what are the three top things that you think really need to be done in order to get the jobs rolling again in this country?
Well, there's several things. Number one, we need economic certainty. So that means that we have to have a regulatory system that isn't pulling the rug out from underneath everybody all the time. And number two, we need to have a tax policy that's competitive around the globe. With the United States around the globe, because right now we are uncompetitive with foreign countries in terms of their tax provisions. And the third thing that we ought to be doing is reducing regulation. So not only regulatory certainty, but actually reducing regulations, getting government out of the way, helping our banks be able to loan again into our communities, making sure that we have a variety of options, financial service options for customers who may want to buy a home for the first time or a car for the first time or start a business. Those are three things that we could be doing. We could unleash the energy potential in this country. We could repeal and replace Obamacare with something that actually works. In fact, just about 20 minutes ago at this meeting here, this meet and greet in near Monta Vista, I met with a gentleman who said, look, I have almost 50 employees, and I am scared to death if my business continues to grow, what happens to the mandates of my company because of Obamacare.
That is absolutely a great point. I want to look to the international stage now with our guest, Congressman Cory Gardner. We have Izzy Novick, just graduated from high school here. On the international stage, wanted to talk about Israel for a moment. Izzy?
Hi, Congressman Gardner. On kind of a different note, this Israel-Gaza issue is really important to me. I have a lot of friends over in Israel. I have some family over in Israel. I'm a big part of the Jewish community. And I was just wondering, how do you think we should handle the Gaza-Israel conflict?
And how do you think it has been handled as well? I'll add that in, too.
Well, look, I think how it has been handled, and that's just, let me just go back several years ago when I was in Israel meeting with General Eshel, who was the head of the IDF planning division. He's now in a different position. One of the questions that we were asking of him was, what do you think of U.S. foreign policy today? And the bottom line is, he couldn't answer the question because he said, we don't know where the United States stands. We don't know where they are today. We don't know where you'll be tomorrow. And that's what's led to this uncertainty in the Middle East. We have to stand with Israel to defend Israel. We have to stand in a partnership with Israel, both militarily and economically. And we have to make sure that Israel is in a position to determine its own security future, and that we stand with them in that determination as our most important ally. So, look, I think the president has shown a lack of leadership in the Middle East and beyond. I think he has projected weakness, not strength. And when we project weakness, our enemies are emboldened. And it is a dangerous situation, not only for our allies like Israel, when the U.S. projects weakness, but it's dangerous for the very people of this country itself.
Now, it's interesting where the Congress just voted to help add more to the Iron Dome missile defense system in Israel, providing $225 million in aid. The United Nations has condemned Israel and the U.S. for not sharing Iron Dome with Hamas, Congressman. I don't know if you've heard about this, but how do you react to that when the Human Rights Commission says, oh, you didn't share it with Hamas, you didn't share it with Gaza, therefore you could be violating human rights?
Look, I think it's simply ridiculous that the United Nations would try to put a terrorist organization on any footing with any nation, including Israel. I think that's what we have to do with Hamas, a known terrorist organization whose goal is destruction of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, that the sort of governing agreement that the Palestinian Authority has entered into with Hamas should defund our aid to the PA. Immediately because of this agreement, the cooperation that they've made with Hamas. Look, I think that we've allowed Hamas to be dealt with kid gloves to the United Nations, and it's got to stop.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to be taking this seriously, and unfortunately we don't have a president or secretary of state or a United Nations who are really adamant about that. Now, one other key issue that is facing this country, I mean, everybody is talking about it, and the House just voted on it yesterday, was providing $700 million in dealing with this border crisis, which included $70 million in National Guard money, more than $400 million for the Department of Homeland Security to boost some of the border security, and nearly $200 million for housing and quote-unquote humanitarian assistance. So the House pushed through this bill, and you were one of 11 Republicans to vote against that bill. There are a lot of conservatives and Republicans who have been very curious as to why that is the case, some frustrated, some wondering what's going on, and I wanted to give you a chance to explain that vote.
Well, there are actually two votes. The vote on the border security bill, I voted for. I voted yes on that bill.
Right. It was the deportation component.
And then the second bill had some serious legal ambiguities to it, and I think that's, again, an entire different discussion. But the first part of the bill, of course, is a border issue that, look, we dealt with border security in the bill. We dealt with humane treatment of the children. And third, we make sure that we have responsible Central American allies when it comes to the use of our foreign aid and the protection of their borders, so that we can reunite these families and make sure that we are protecting kids who need protection. When it comes to the second vote, I think you create a significant legal ambiguity problem that's going to lead to children having the rug pulled out from underneath them, winding up in court, and creating a judicial ambiguity that is unacceptable in this country.
So to be clear, that this other bill would prevent President Obama from expanding a program that suspended deportations for some illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. And you felt that there were holes and gaps, is what you're saying in that.
Well, what I'm saying is that this creates a legal system that children are going to get caught right in the middle of, and I believe that is not the best policy for this country to pursue. I think this administration has failed to lead on immigration reform in terms of a way to work together. Has the administration talked about a need for immigration reform? Yes. Have they tried to say that we ought to move forward this way or that way? Yes. But have they actually been able to come to the House with a attitude of let's get this done? I think you've seen a lot of politics instead of actually people trying to find solutions.
We've got about a minute left with Congressman Cory Gardner, our guest, and thank you for clarifying about those two bills. I thought you had voted for the first one. But what do you think we really need to be doing right now to address this crisis? Especially, I'm really concerned about Ebola and the potential of that coming across the borders, even by terrorist means, for example. I mean, we have so many people, then we don't know what they're doing here.
Look, I don't think there's any threat of that.
I don't think so either. But
that's something that I would not be concerned about, including the comments made by CDC and some of the health organizations that have been involved in that. This just shows leadership is required on immigration reform. We need an immigration policy that starts with border security, a workable guest program, making sure that we have an e-verify system that works, addressing the entry-exit system of this country, recognizing the need for visa reform and beyond. But I think if we do that, then we can come together and find a solution that will protect our borders and create a system of immigration that will actually work. I fear that you have people who are simply to use this for political gain and trying to play politics instead of actually saying, hey, how do we work together and find a solution?
Piecemeal approach or comprehensive approach?
I think that you have people in the House who are going to want a step-by-step approach, and if that's the way it happens, then let's work on a step-by-step approach. Secure the border, guest worker program, move along in a way that will actually show the American people that we can get the job done. And I think if that's the way the president would work, then he could have immigration reform, especially with some of the people who have been opposed to it so far.
Yeah, and I definitely think step-by-step personally is the approach to take. Well, Congressman Cory Gardner, we are out of time, but thank you very much for working with us through those technical issues. Appreciate it, and I look forward to talking with you again down the line.
Well, thank you, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it, and we'll be right back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Maggie Tate, Izzy.
Bird Talk is moving to noon.